In 2008, William Grassi, he's the author of Entangled Narratives, Competing Visions of the Good Life. Great title. Competing Visions of the Good Life. He wrote this: modern humans, perhaps more than at any other time in history, are caught up in a web of entangled narratives. Globalization and communication technologies have brought the world of differences into our living rooms, classrooms, and communities. People wage wars within and between our civilizations based on these narratives, for which, for the most part, they don't even recognize as stories. People disagree about the good life, and in so doing, they tend to demonize those with different visions of the life here at home and around the world. That's 2008. Let's just fast forward less than a decade later, and we have a massive clash of competing narratives and visions for the world. I mean, that's just an ongoing thing, and I don't think it's as simple as Christians versus non-Christians, right versus left. The reality is in our day and age, couples, families, friends, congregations that were once united in their commitment to Christ are now dividing over seemingly irreconcilable views of the world. And I want to suggest that the church needs a vision. We need a narrative in which we live by. Now, the good thing is, 2,000 years ago, a Jewish carpenter called Jesus of Nazareth, he walked onto the scene and he had a vision for the world. And he announced this vision. He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Essentially, he's coming on the scene. He's like, "Okay, come in, folks. I have really good news for you. I have a better narrative for you. It's God's vision. It's God's kingdom. And that kingdom is breaking into the world right now. And so in response to this good news I have, what I want you to do is to repent." And think of repent as turning from. He says, "I want you to repent from your narrative, your idea, your vision, and your actions that fight against or are contrary to this kingdom that I'm announcing." He's saying, receive this good news and turn from the previous visions and actions that you have. And you think about this great narrative in the Bible that the Gideons are giving away. This great narrative, it starts in a garden, right? This story where people are in the garden, and it culminates in this beautiful city in Revelation. And so let's look at that city in Revelation. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. If you don't have a Bible, there's ones in the seat cushions underneath. And we have the same policy as the Gideons. If you need a Bible, take that one. We don't consider it stealing. And it will be up on the screen. So John writes in Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1, he says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, come down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard with a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away.' And he who is seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Man, amen. That's our hope right there. That's what we're looking for. This is God's vision. This is the hope of the story of the Bible, that God's domain will become our domain, that they will completely unite one day. And I want to remind us that contrary to a Platonic or Greek philosophy or Gnostic view. The goal of this life is not to depart from this physical world and go into an immaterial spiritual world that's far away. The biblical narrative, if you go back to Isaiah 65, you go to Matthew, use the words of Jesus, Matthew 19:2, you go to 2 Peter 3:13, you go to the book of Revelations, the climax of the biblical story is God making all things new. It's God bringing heaven and earth, a new heaven, a new earth. They come together. And so this is far from, sometimes as Christians, we have the story of us escaping the world and God abandoning his good creation. And I want to remind us, and this is important, God doesn't have an evacuation plan. He has a restoration plan. God has a restoration plan. And this is beautiful here. The bride. Who's the bride? That's you and I. That's people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. The new humanity that we talked about last week. The bride has made herself ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Think about that. What is that? That's new creatures in Christ. That's who we are. New creatures in Christ living in a new creation. And I like this beautiful picture here. God has made a permanent dwelling place with his people. And I want to remind us, it's not God's people that are removed from creation. You know what's going to be removed? It's death, it's Hades, it's Satan, it's his followers. They are removed and thrown into the lake of fire. And when it happens, what do we have here? We have death replaced with life. We have tears replaced with joy, mourning with rejoicing, brokenness and pain with wholeness. The former things have passed away. That ought to be exciting here. Okay, this is where justice rolls down like waters. This is where war and injustice cease. Swords become plowshares. Orphans become sons and daughters. The hungry and the thirsty are filled. The glory of the temple of God covers the entire earth. Every nation will be blessed through the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And God's personal presence will permeate every inch of this new creation. That is a vision that is worth pursuing. That is the vision for the church. That is where we're headed. And so I want to suggest, since we have a clear picture, we have a clear vision from God, from the world, I believe we have a rubric, which is how you interpret something, to understand, to feed our own visions, our own direction. Where are we going? And perhaps we should ask some questions. If Jesus is making all things new, and this is what we've been talking about for 6 weeks, and hopefully not me, but the Spirit has convinced you that Jesus is making all things new, we should probably pause and say, what does that look like in my life? What changes are going to take place? I love that video where, you know, the guy's got arrested and he's now the pastor. Okay, that is a transformed life. That is what does my life look like now that God is making all things new? And so, what does that look like in your own life? What needs to change? Are there habits in your life that you need to change to partner with him? What does that look like with your thought life, your marriage, your family, your community, your social media post? What does that look like if God is making all things new? What does it look like in the church? What would the broken areas of your life look like? What does your communication look like? And seriously, I think we need to answer those questions. And here's a couple cool things about God's vision. He doesn't give this to satisfy our curiosity of the future, okay? It's not like, hey, let me just show you something because inquiring minds want to know. No, this is an invitation. This is an invitation right now, 2022, right now to join God where he's working. If this is the vision for the future, he shows us that because he wants us to play a part in his kingdom. And God wants us to do something. He wants each of us to willingly risk loving others. To go, what is it? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That we would go out and love others. Because you know who did that? Christ. He risked everything in loving us. And each person in here, you have a part to contribute to the kingdom of God. And we need to live in light of the reality of this picture that God is painting. If that's the end goal, then let's focus on that. Let's look at that and say, this is where we're heading. And this isn't just a futuristic thing. It's something that all of creation longs for. It's already begun. Paul wrote this in Romans 8:22. He says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." I think that's why, when the religious leaders told Jesus, "Hey, tell them to be quiet, stop shouting Hosanna," and Jesus says, "I tell you, if they would be quiet, the rocks would cry out." That's because all of creation longs for this. And he says, not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. We should groan inwardly. We should long for this. This should be our heart's desire as we eagerly await for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. Now the hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? So all of creation longs for something that you and I already have dwelling within us. Think about that. God has entrusted you with what every good story, what every dream points to. You have eternity placed in your heart already. And so with that, don't pursue lesser dreams. Don't lose sight of this dream, of this vision that God has. And we don't even have to guess. You know, what would the world look like if God's kingdom were to come here to earth? We have a picture of it. We know what it looks like. And he's already told us. We have a pretty clear idea on how his followers should live, right? I mean, just go to the Sermon on the Mount and go, "Oh, okay, yeah, this is how we should do this. Here's our marching orders." We have a clear picture. And that clear picture should inform everything we do. We should reject all lesser narratives. That's the narrative. That's our story. And the question is, what is the story that you're listening to? Because there's a lot of them out there. And the Apostle Paul, he tells us, he's saying, this is how you live in light of God's narrative. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ..." Anybody in Christ in here? Okay. New creation. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. He says, "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." And so we see a couple things here. First of all, we see this promise of Jesus making all things new. It's already begun. So something has already happened, and it's happening within us. And just think about the privilege. I was thinking about that when the worship team was up here. I was just like, how cool is that? I get to do ministry with these people. How cool is this that we get to do this together? And with that, how incredible is it that God, who has chosen to renew all of creation, you and I have the honor to be the first part of what he renews. That we should be a living example to the world of, hey, these changes that are going on in my life, this new me, whatever you see, how we relate to one another, that's a picture of how things are all going to be one day, which would be a good reminder, like, what picture is it that we're showing the world? The world already knows how to be the world. We should show the world how to be the church. We should be a living example of what is to come. And see, that's why Paul says we have the first fruit. We already have that. We already have that indwelling us. And secondly, notice who the promise is for. The promise is for those who are in Christ. You and I, we were born into a broken world, a world of sin, a world of death. Our sin separated us from God. That's what Dave was talking about earlier. It's a world where we pursued unworthy dreams. And many here, if I gave you time, you could come up and you have great stories, if I could use that word, great stories of how you pursued unworthy dreams. But then how God came in. And God came in and changed that. And the gospel is an invitation to change stories. It's an invitation saying, there's a better story. There's a better way to live. There's a new kingdom coming. And we're invited to pursue a better kingdom where Jesus came to make all things new. And he actually paid the price for our sins. And he rose from the grave. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And how do we experience this? We experience this through faith. Right? This might be a familiar passage to you. Romans 10, 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when we say Lord, we're saying, okay, you are now in charge. You are Lord. You are Lord of my life. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and saved. So if you want to be a part of this new creation with Christ, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all of this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, church, therefore, Hope Community Church, therefore, those that hear my voice, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. And we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So do you see what God does here? He not only does he invite you to a better kingdom, to a better life, a better story. He says, I'm giving you a prominent role. The new you, the new creation has a new job. Guess what? As you leave here and it says, now I'm entering my mission field, you go out there as ambassadors of Christ. You are God's ambassadors that have been approved by God and entrusted with the gospel. And as we go through this world, we represent the already, not yet, and coming kingdom of God. That is who we are. That is what we do. We are in this world, but we're not of it. We are God's ambassadors. Now, if I were an ambassador from the U.S. and I go somewhere, I don't just represent myself, right? I represent the nation that I'm sent from, and I represent the people that sent me. And the same is true for the people of Christ. In fact, I want to suggest you have a much higher calling. And you know what happens? And maybe you've done this sometime in the last 10 years. Sometimes we get upset with our representatives. And sometimes we say, hey, they don't represent our country. They don't represent the interest of our country. And we get upset. And maybe we should. Let me ask you something. Do we hold ourselves to that same standard? Because we're ambassadors to Christ. Kings, presidents, senators, congressmen, ambassadors of Christ. Okay, you're up here. You have the highest calling. You have the highest calling to represent Christ to the world. And if that high calling is to represent Christ to the world, then that's where I get my marching orders from. It's his. I don't get to go in there and go, yeah, you know, the king of the kingdom, he says this, this, and this. But, you know, let's do this, this, and this. Doesn't work that way, right? I mean it does, but it doesn't, okay? And think about that when you see that in the world and you go, that's terrible. We need to reflect and go, okay, are there areas that I need to repent? Are there areas need to change? Because I am God's ambassador. I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to take the message of the King of Kings to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth, and I'm to implore men, women, and children everywhere to be reconciled to God. Let me close with a couple thoughts, and I'll pray and have the worship team come up. What narratives are you willing to live and die for? And those narratives that you're thinking, do they align with God's narrative? Is it the narrative of his kingdom that has come, is coming, and will come in its fullness? And I beg of you, don't trade the story that God has declared in his holy word for any of the millions of other lesser stories. George Washington Carver says this, where there is no vision, there is no hope. Listen, we are a people of hope that are living for and in a better story. Let me close in prayer and I'll have the worship team come up. Lord God, we declare that you are King of the universe. Lord Jesus, you defeated sin, you defeated death. You announced the kingdom. And your kingdom is present within us. And Lord, as ambassadors from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, may we go out and share this good news that the King wants reconciliation. The King wants to restore. The King wants to renew. The King wants to change our lives. The King invites us to be a part of his kingdom. God, have your way, Lord. May we repent. May we turn from lesser narratives. And may we go out and live as children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.